The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ivan in for Pat today. We often hear about the sale of drugs on the dark web, but what if it's actually just as easy to order drugs as it is to order a pizza to your door, Deliveroo style? A rise in the demand for instant access to drugs has led to the development of apps and the use of apps already in existence to buy and sell illegal substances. Well, our own News Talk reporter, Emily Keegan, investigates the growing use of apps and drone deliveries for such a service.
Every few weeks, there seems to be a new headline or story about drug use in Ireland. Recent research and surveys show us cocaine is the most common problem drug among new treatment cases, accounting for over 30% of all new presentations. More than half of 25-year-olds have tried cannabis. Ireland has the sixth highest rate of problematic opioid use among EU countries, and roughly half of people know or knew someone with a drug problem. In the first 6 months of the year, Gardaí and the Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau seized illicit drugs to the value of over €82 million, while the Dublin Crime Response Team seized drugs to the value of over €17.5 million. So it's clear to see why many experts would say drug use is prevalent across the country and possibly even growing. But where are people buying drugs now? How have things changed in a world post-pandemic where we barely even shop for groceries or clothes in person? And how are recent advancements in technology and AI playing a role in it all? One addiction support service that's reporting a change in the buying and selling of drugs is the Rutland Centre in Dublin. In its latest annual report, the centre found the largest age groups seeking help were adults aged 25 to 44. Emma Kavanagh, head of clinical services at the Rutland Centre, says many people presenting to their services are buying drugs the same way many of us now buy most things in life, on apps.
So this is the kind of generation that are very tech savvy. They've grown up with social media, they've grown up with smartphones, and they're very tech literate, tech savvy, and they know how to source drugs in all the kind of modern ways. We hear of people being able to log on these apps from wherever they are in the country and organise delivery very quickly, very imminently, and we hear them be able to access different deals as well too. So a lot of these apps look like very legitimate apps. They're very slick. They nearly look like eBay and Amazon, where you can log on, you can browse products, you can browse vendors, you can avail of different deals. And we're hearing from our clients that this is all increasing their cocaine use because it's so accessible. And I think one of the things that deters people from using drugs sometimes is the fact that it's illegal, it's criminal. People don't want to have to go down dark alleyways and be involved with criminals to kind of organize and access their drugs. And in a way, using these apps sanitizes drug use for people. Not only can you log on and order your drugs very easily and avail of the deals, but you have these really sophisticated delivery mechanisms now through the use of drones. We see drones are problematic in lots of different ways, even outside of drugs. We see lots of communities now pushing back on drone use, even for coffee deliveries and all that. But I suppose what that shows us is drones are everywhere. They're in our skies all the time. It's very unusual now to go through a suburb and not actually hear a drone or see a drone. So it can be very hard to distinguish between what's criminal activity going on in a drone and what's not. We're also hearing the use of PO boxes as well too, so people can access drugs through the mail sometimes by using these PO boxes, where you can use fake details or pseudonames. And all of these things again sanitize the drug ordering, the drug taking, making it feel more legitimate.
You mentioned there how these apps look. So am I right in saying that these are apps that are specifically kind of set up for the sale of these goods? Are people using maybe traditional social media as well to go down this route?
Yeah, so it's both. We do hear of people using existing social media platforms like dating apps, for example, but also specifically designed apps. And one might think that they're only on the dark web, but actually just on the normal internet that you can log on to, that you can access. What I hear from clients is that there's an intermediary in these kind of platforms through use of AI and chatbots. So it's actually you're logging on, you're speaking to a chatbot, and the chatbot then is the intermediary that goes and brings the information to the seller.
How quick is the process? Has anyone ever explained that to you? Like, are they getting this same day, next day?
It can be very quick for people. And I think like drug taking is generally a high paced kind of activity. I know very few drug takers who are progressed in their addiction that would kind of wait a day or 2 days for their drugs. So it's immediate. I was speaking to a client not that long ago who was actually in hospital for something, logged onto his phone, ordered cocaine on his app, was able to pop down and get it from the reception an hour later. And he informed me good quality cocaine at a good price as well.
So while many cases of drug selling and buying online are taking place on the standard social media sites, we now know there are purpose-built apps on the app stores created with the sole intention of supplying drugs to anyone, anywhere. When asked what's being done to tackle this, a spokesperson for An Garda Síochána said it's aware many social media apps are used for localised street-level drug dealing and that this is in effect the modern version of direct phone contact. It established Operation Tara in 2021 with the focus to disrupt, dismantle and prosecute drug trafficking networks at all levels, but the removal of an app from the App Store is primarily a matter for the platform holder. When I reached out to the main social media companies and asked what they're doing to stop this illegal activity on their sites, TikTok said content that shows or encourages illegal acts, such as drug-related activities, will be removed. It deploys a number of solutions to quickly detect and remove such content. It also regularly updates its keyword approach as drug slang rapidly evolves and uses a combination of technologies and moderation teams to identify, review and, where appropriate, remove content or accounts that violate the community guidelines. At the time this report goes to air, there's been no response from Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram, Threads and WhatsApp. To get a better understanding of why people using these apps are so likely to use them, I sat down with Michael Woods, who's now more than 30 years in recovery and working at the Rutland Centre. I started by asking him how this accessibility compares to his experience.
We used to have to search for it. A lot of us in the housing estate I grew up in had, you know, people who'd married in the life of Dolphins Barn, Fatima Mange and St. Gard and Trees' Garden. So we would go from where I lived in Rathfarnham. We would drive out there on motorbikes. Some of the lads had motorbikes and they would get the drugs for everybody. But the only thing with that was they would go out and get the drugs, stop on the way back and take a little bit out of everybody's, you know, rob it. Or else say they were copy the police and wouldn't have any, or just dodge it. So it was hard to get it. But if we couldn't get drugs, we just took something else if something else was there. Until we were strung out on heroin. When I was strung out on heroin, I had to have heroin. So people would have seen that and there would have been a lot more people selling it then, you know, whereas when I started out, there would have been one or two. By the time I finished, there could have been 16 people that I could have went to get the drugs. See, the industry was more like, oh, your man has nice gear, oh, your man has lovely stuff, or that kind of stuff. So you went after that. But if you couldn't get that stuff, you would always refer back to whatever, even if it meant just going home and opening your mum's cabinet and crunching up a few whore aspirins or just injecting them to get something.
Obviously, you're in recovery a long time now and you're working with people who are quite new into recovery. How much has things, I suppose specifically in terms of accessibility, changed throughout that time? How do the stories you're hearing today compare to the lengths you had to go to find these drugs?
Look, at cocaine, there's a pandemic of cocaine out there. They've went and, you know, tested the top of toilets in 50 random pubs across South and North Dublin. And 50 of them came back with drugs. People are standing in pubs or in cars beside you, taking out a penny and taking out cocaine and sniffing it going down the road. It was never like that when you were smoking. Even smoking hash, you were sort of hiding it in your hand behind you so no one would see it. Nowadays, it's as blatant. You drive over here tonight, by the time you probably get home, you go past about 20 people flying along on bikes. So, you know, probably two of them are cocaine deliveries.
Technology and social media is a rapidly evolving landscape, and so too is the use of these platforms for the sale of drugs. Of course, it wouldn't keep evolving if there wasn't a demand for instant access to the products. So how do authorities keep control of a situation like this and hold those responsible to account? Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner for Dublin, explains how difficult it is to manage.
Well, we know that they have developed probably the most efficient distribution method ever in the history of drugs. That's what we're dealing with at the moment. It's like a parallel universe that has been created out there, and it has changed the nature of the game so fundamentally that nobody could ever have seen this coming 10 years ago or 15 years ago, like so quickly. And what you have now is you have ready access to drugs anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, anywhere in your town or in your local village. The traditional ways of selling drugs have been set aside, but those traditional ways, I say traditional as if it was a long time ago, it wasn't a long time ago. We're talking in the very recent past, where selling drugs was done on street corners or in the toilets in pubs, etc. People had to make their way there. The person selling them rarely moved, so it gave the police an opportunity to set up surveillance, listening posts, watching posts, etc., to see who was actually doing it, who was buying it, who was selling it, and then afterwards they could start rounding people up, so to speak. But now you don't have that. It's so mobile, it's so efficient as a selling method. It's almost impossible for the police to stay on top of this now. They don't use language anymore. It's not text. They're not words. They're emojis. They're signs. They're signals that only people who know how to read them and interpret them, you know, can actually make sense of them. You know, so it makes it so difficult for the police to deal with this. But my fear with it is that it will facilitate such an inflow and distribution of drugs. It's going to be very, very difficult for the state to deal with this. And people who may never have gotten involved with drugs are more likely to get involved now because they're so available.
How far can the guards go at the minute to try and clamp down on it? Or do they need the help of, like, the big social media giants? Can the guards do anything at the minute?
Absolutely. The guards can do something, but they need those partnerships. They need the other players, the other facilitators, plus the regulators in this area to come together and say, OK, we need to stop this. They have a duty of care to the citizens of Ireland to protect the children in this country and subsequently the adults. So it has to be a collaboration between them. No one individual group or organisation can do this. The nature of the game, the environment has changed. So absolutely it has to be a collaboration and probably something underpinned by legislation or regulation or something that empowers them to do it, but also provides a legal obligation for them to act. I don't think people actually realise how widespread it is yet or how efficient the system is that they have now established, and it's probably unlikely that it's going to play out in some domains, some communication platforms, but certainly we need to have a national discourse about this because this is hitting us like a wave, like a tidal wave that we have never encountered before.
There you have it. Apps and the free open access to illegal drugs. Our reporter Emily Keegan with that report.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.